John chapter 8 this morning. John chapter 8, I'm going to get wired up. Amen. Not that I'm already wired up, but I lost my voice last week, and many of you got to hear it. And preacher gave me some cellular tea a while back, and I took some of that. Monday, I was right as rain. And then I went to using it again. Amen. And I've stripped it up again this week, and so if I squeak and squall at you, amen, you just have to please put up with me a little while, amen. I got the cough drop in. I'm trying to do my best to get where I can be heard this morning. I don't know about you, but I can't help but think about where God got me from when she sang that song. I told my wife this week, and just talking about, you know, if you'd seen that boy and the family that I come out of when I was 5 and God saved me, amen, brought me out of it, saved my family, drug me up out of that place. And if you've seen the rough place I come from, you'd have never thought, man, God can make that guy a preacher. You'd have never thought, you know, and if you'd have told me all along the way, I'd have said, you lost your mind. But I know this, that I have a God worth serving. And he saved me, and boy, I thought it was pretty good early on in the Christian life. And then I realized, man, he's so good, I can't do nothing but serve him. And when I gave him my all, he decided he wanted all of it. Amen? And they put me in the ministry. And I thank God for that today. I'll just tell you what, I'm glad his life for mine, because mine wasn't going to measure up. And if you're in the building today and you realize, listen, if you think you're going to measure up, you ain't going to measure up. The only one that's ever going to measure up or meet the standard of a holy God was his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8 is where we're going to be at today. This is one of the most dreaded days to preach or run a bus route is on daylight saving time. So I wanted to know who I ought to preach against today, who invented that mess. So I went back down and I started to study that this week, and I started to read all about all those things. But it was an interesting fact, and again, the Mr. Hudson who came up with that, and I'm not saying everything bad comes from Germany, but listen, there's a lot of bad stuff come out of there. All right? So if you just want to put it in perspective, that's where they started this foolishness. Now, I ain't here to preach against Germans, all right? You're all right, Laura. Oh, by the way, I think we have the Paulines with us today, and they were on staff a long time with us and helped. And then I saw Daniel. I saw you and your wife, amen. They're graduates of our college. We appreciate y'all being in the building today and being with us. And everybody that's visiting with us today, thank you so much for being with us. And but I got thinking back, and I looked all it through the daylight saving time, and especially as America began to adopt it. And we had different times through the ages that we piddled with it. But you know, the only times as a country that we got together on daylight saving time as a nation was through troubled times, tribulation times. World War I, the nation got on board and did daylight savings time. World War II, our nation got together and again on daylight savings time. And then in 1966, there were enough Christians, I think, that realized that we were a nation in crisis. Do you know back in the 60s, I didn't live back then, I wasn't born yet, but I've read enough history to know that wasn't, you know, when we always talk about the good old days, that wasn't what they were. And as I read not only the history of our nation, but then what was birthed out of that, they went to daylight saving time. But I remember and read about preachers of the gospel who stood up and stood against some sin in the world. And they preached and people started to get saved. Our nation went through a reviving in the mid-70s and the 80s, and it carried on into the 90s to when God reached into my soul and reached into my family and in my life. And as I studied daylight savings time, I realized that somebody stood up and realized that a nation was in crisis again. That we had left the God that we loved, the one that had set us up on a pedestal and made us a wonderful nation. We're very young compared to the nations of the world, folks, and it was only our God and our faith that made us what we are today. And the farther that we get away from that, the farther and farther our greatness will go. We now have come to a place of crisis. You know that throughout the ages here, and I'll just tell you, you know the story. Again, I know I'm preaching at the choir a little bit, but just let me say this. Do you know that all the way through this time, they've always tried to get rid of God's truth? You know that, right? They've always tried to get the liberal crowd back from the 60s is still around, folks, and they let that mess go, and then they trained a generation, and then they took over our colleges, and they're still training crazy still today, and we're still just as divided or more so than we ever have been, and the battle still rages for souls. Our president, I don't know if he got anything else right, but one thing he did realize, that this election was a vote on the soul of America. And I'm here to tell you, I realize that a nation can't get saved as a whole, but it has to be saved one individual at a time. One person at a time coming to Jesus Christ and asking him for that personal relationship, that personal salvation, one-on-one. As I studied and thought about this, I thought, you know, preacher, one of the things that they started, you know, a long time ago, I'm talking not just recent history, but a long time ago, the devil set forth to change our world by changing our Bible. He's tried to destroy it. He's tried to burn it. He's tried to do all these things. And now he's watered it down with multiple or a plethora of versions. People have, even this week I was reminded about people that say that there's some book out there that's a little easier to read. But I remember somebody teaching me a long time ago that things that are different are not the same. And so if you got the Word of God, then you need to stick with the Word of God. You can't go watering it down and changing it. The devil tried to do that. He tried to water down the truth. He's tried to destroy the truth. You know, he took out, and know what, in America, especially from the 60s on, we've seen the devil trying to change the culture of America, leaving the Christian culture that once was, where people would leave the farm and they wouldn't wear their dungarees or their jeans into town, but they dressed up and they went to town dressed up. Listen, that wasn't a thing. We live in a day and age where now, and I'm not preaching against anybody, folks. I'm talking about our culture. I'm talking about where we live. I'm not talking about what you showed up. You're welcome in this place in whatever you showed up in. Know that. We love you. We thank God for you. But know this, that there was a standard in America that wasn't just it founded in Christianity. When people went to town to get things, they dressed up. It wasn't just the church. It was going out. They dressed up. They wanted to wear, they didn't want to wear their work clothes. They wore something dressed up. And now we've come down where we've watered our culture so far down that when people come to funerals and to weddings, there's no honor in those things anymore. People don't dress up anymore for those type of things. And listen, I'm not trying to get at you and tell you're a bad person. I'm telling you, you've let the culture of this world affect you. And we've come to a place in this life where, again, now he tried to water down the culture, but that still did not change the truth. Doesn't matter what the world's doing, the truth is still the truth. And then we came on down the line and we've come to today, and they've tried changing the Bible and God's law, and they've tried changing the culture to change this world. And now we've come to a place where our government has decided to change our laws to make their sin legal. God has made a book, and he had laws and ways that he wanted us to live. But now the crowd that tried to change the book to change us, and they couldn't, they're changing. Then they changed the culture, and they couldn't. And now they're going to try to change the law of the land so that they can change us. But bless God, I believe God's people need to take a stand. They need to draw a line and say, hey, you've tried this before and we didn't change. We stuck with the book. God's people need to draw a line in the sand and say, listen, you tried to change the culture, but we stood firm and we held to God's word and his way. And we're going to draw a line in the sand again. It doesn't matter what law you pass or what you come down the pike with. We're going to stand with God's book and God's man and God's way. Amen and amen. Now, that was all introduction. I just couldn't go no farther without getting that out. Amen? Listen, I could preach on the old nasty world and just tell you that, listen, they've always been crazy. They will always be crazy until they come to a place where they see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you the place that God found me, I wasn't thinking the way I think today. The place that if I'd been left in there without salvation and I was left over there, then I would have crooked thinking too. But I'm thankful that God reached way down and plucked me out of that place. He saved my soul. Then he gave me a book that taught me and renewed my mind and changed my thinking to his way of thinking. Hey, folks, the first daylight saving time that I could find recorded was Joshua chapter 10 and verse 13. We're not going there, but God changed some time, didn't he? The man of God was in a battle. I mean, he was fighting. I thought it fit, man. Every time we would decided as a nation to go to daylight saving time, I thought, man, Joshua was in a fight, man. And he said, we ain't got time to kill all these fellas. We ain't got time to finish the job. We ain't time to, listen, you know, that's what most of daylight saving time is about, trying to finish some work while you got daylight to work. Joshua said, Lord, I can't do all this. It's going to get dark on us. He said, listen, you want to talk a big ask. I thought we had a big revival. I mean, man, we had a big day when we had last week and we come out of Restorethon. I thought we asked some big things and we saw God do some big things. But you want to see something that's big? The man of God said, hey, let the sun stand still in the sky. Now, if you want to do the science on it, I don't know if you understand this. I don't know what college or school you went to, but at Christian school, they taught me that the earth goes around the sun, not the sun around the earth. And so God knew exactly what he was talking about. But from Joshua's perspective, the sun was going around him. All right. But God knew what he meant, and God let the earth stand still so that the sun stood still in the sky for him. And they cleaned that crowd up. They did the work that God had asked them to do. You know, I want to tell you this. I believe if anything that God's people should be praying about is that we get some more light, that we get some more day, that daylight saving time, people get saved in the day. And I pray every day that God would give us just enough time to get everyone that he wants to get saved. I pray each day that God would send us to people and people would get saved. Because the only thing holding us here, folks, everything in prophecy has been fulfilled for God's people to be taken out of this place except for the last soul being saved. We can study prophecy until we're blue in the face, but until we get a hold of that we need to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, all that prophecy and things down the road won't do us a bit of good except for being something that we know will happen. But if we want it to come to pass, then we need to get after souls for Jesus Christ. That means you and I, man, I need to carry tracts in my pocket. Because listen, I may not have time to stand and give them the gospel, and they may not have time, but I can give them the gospel in print and hand it off and say, here, take that with you. So how does that work? I need to be prepared. Well, I tell you what, this idea of this, I was studying the word this week and I thought, man, the preacher got up and talked about he was the good shepherd. I am the shepherd. Amen. He preached Wednesday night. I preached last Sunday about an I am of Christ, and I just couldn't help it. Turn with me, if you would, John chapter 8 and verse 12. I don't even know if I just spent too much time in the introduction or if you're listening slow, but the clock is still moving. Amen. John chapter 8 and verse number 12, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. As a Christian, I'm taking something excited about this. This means once I've received the light of the world and I decide to follow Christ, do you realize once you got light in you, it doesn't mean that you don't just walk in darkness. There are people currently that are saved and on their way to heaven, but they're walking in some dark places. They've decided to put themselves back under the bondage of sin and live in a way that is uncomely of a Christian. But the Bible says that if we not only receive the light, I am the light of the world, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Now, this is the way I understand it. If God says, hey, follow me. He told the disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus says to us, hey, if you want to be in the light and walk in the light, then follow the light, bless God. The light is never, if he's light and life is in him, then when I get in him and if I stay with him, then it ain't never going to get dark around me. I'm never going to be finding myself in the place, in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm going to find myself in the right place at the right time, and oftentimes to be a witness of the one who saved me. Divine appointments don't just happen. They happen to the Christian that's following Christ. Because when you show up in a place, you can't help but be a light bearer because you're walking in the light. Amen and amen. Amen. He says here, he says, and look at that. But my preacher taught me that means we're changing sides of the street. But shall have the light of life. So not only if I'm going to follow him, not only am I going to get light when I'm close to him, but I'm going to have the light in me. I'm going to get the light of life. I'm going to be different than the rest of the world. You know, we sometimes, and I know this is true about most of us, you know, we've been taught. I was taught from a small age. I went to public school almost all the way through high school, and just a few years I got to be pulled out and go to the Christian school, and I thank God for those years, formidable years of my life. But you know, when I was out there, you know, they used to teach me that everybody has a little spark inside of them. And that the teacher's job was just to fan that thing. And if you fan that little spark that's inside of everyone, it'll bloom forth into a great fire. That's a bunch of junk straight out of the pit of hell. There ain't no good in you outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can follow good principles and you can see the light from afar off, but if you don't got the light, I promise you this, you won't be walking in the light. There are people that attend church and do good things. There's a couple that I'm thinking about right now that, I mean, I grew up around their boy, and I remember they were the most moral people that I knew. But they were practicing for heaven. They were living a certain way because they thought that's what was going to get them there. And when they messed up, I mean, they were heartbroken because it was heaven or hell for them. And I'm thankful that I don't live that way. I'm thankful that somebody taught me from the good word of God that it ain't my works, that it ain't what I do that gets me to heaven, but what Jesus did on Calvary and what he paid for my soul on Calvary, what he did, and I accept his finished work, and all of a sudden, I get life eternal. I get the light of life. You know, I thought about this, and I saw, man, I knew this is where God had me preach. I knew this is what he was saying, but, you know, I was like, man, Where's all this? Where's all the depth? Where's the word of God going? Where's the context of the scripture? So I went back to the beginning of the chapter and I began to read. Go back with me if you would at the beginning of chapter 8 and look at verse number 1. It says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him and sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees, man, when they show up, watch out, brought unto him. Where had they been early in the morning? Jesus had been praying. Jesus had been conversing with his Father. Now he's found himself in the temple, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commands us that we should be stoned, that she should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Look at verse 6. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. They wanted to get him to a place where they could accuse him and say, hey, see, he's not keeping the law of Moses. He's not doing right. He's broken the law. He's done this. And we preached last week that he is God of the law. He said, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote in the ground as though he heard them not. You know, I don't know about you, but one of the things that I always like to do when somebody says something dumb to me is act like I don't hear them. I'm telling you right now, people turn three shades of red when you sit there and go, what'd you say? Amen. Sometimes when people will tell me, now, you really don't believe the Bible is perfect, do you? And I'll act like I didn't hear them. And I'll say, and then I'll wait for them to say it a second time. And I usually will tell them something like, you know, I don't think I'd be repeating that. I don't think you ought to be talking that way. I listened, I waited for you to, I heard you the first time, but I didn't think you were dumb enough to say it twice. You say, Brother Parsons, you wouldn't be like that. Huh? Ask my wife after the service. Not that I ever told her that. I mean, I would never tell her that. I like to eat too much. He comes to verse 7. And they found this woman in adultery. The Pharisees and the scribes have brought him. They're trying to tempt Jesus. What a shame it is that they don't see this life. This woman who's taken in adultery. You realize they didn't bring the man, did they? If she was taken in the act, there were two to tango, wasn't it? They only dragged one up there to see what Jesus would do. They didn't care nothing about the sin. They didn't care nothing about anything that was going on in this situation. All they cared about was trying to disrupt what Jesus was doing. Get to verse 7, he says, so when they continued asking, he lifted himself up and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Let him first cast a stone at her. Verse 8, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it being convicted by their own conscience. And I want you to see this, folks. And put this. This is the deep part of this lesson and what happens here. He says this, and they which heard it being convicted by their own conscience went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Do you know, I find in this day and age, in a church house like ours, that Pharisees and scribes still show up. And there'll be people that'll be in sin and people that need help. Sometimes they come and they've been battered by this world and they've never been taught better. They've never found the good light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't know how they ought to live. They don't have power to live unto God. They need Jesus to come into them and heal them and win them. But every once in a while, they'll find their way into a place like this, and they'll hear about a Jesus that died on Calvary, that he busted forth out of the tomb like we heard sung this morning, and hope showed up, because now it wasn't like every other religion. Now there's a living God who came down and paid for my sin and rose again under his own power. Hey, that's the message we get to preach to the world. That's the Jesus I get to talk about. And those same people will come. And listen, we live with, now we're refined. Today we don't pick up rocks and throw at people. We're New Age Christians. We're New Testament church age Christians. We just throw words. We just throw gossip. Amen? That's the truth of it. I don't want it to be so, but that is the truth of it right there. And rather than falling on our face before God and talking to him about the problem in their life, oh God, save them from their sin. Oh God, heal them. Bring them back home to God. Instead of going to him like that, we'll go to our neighbor and we'll throw rocks with our words, with our actions. Do you know that there are people sitting in this building this morning, your look, the way you look at them, whether you smile or whether you frown, whether you give them that look of, I'm glad you're here, or whether you give them that look of, what are you doing in this place? I'm here to tell you, folks, that's what Jesus was dealing with. And most of the time, and we've talked about it before, and I just feel like it's worth dealing with again. I believe we live in an age where people are hungry for the things of God. Amen. The farther this world and this country gets away from him, the more people are going to be looking at the lighthouses like Landmark Baptist Church. Amen. And they're going to grace the doors and they're going to come in. This week, we've had more calls saying, come over here. We want to have a service. We want to have a service over here. Would you come and preach to us? Because we've opened back up and we want you to come in and preach in the nursing home. We want you to preach in the, and I mean, listen, they want us, hey, not just preach there, they want us to preach in the homeless shelter again. They want us to preach in the trailer parks and all these different places. Come over and help us. Because we called the people that used to preach here. And they don't want to come. You see, COVID's made some folks lazy, folks. COVID, you know, it's a funny disease. It not just attacks people when they're sitting down.
standing up. Oh, I didn't know. I can't keep it straight. It always gets us. Amen. But anyway, that COVID is after everybody. But you know, it's funny how it also it makes you tired of serving God. I didn't realize it had that effect. I didn't see it. I didn't read that in the symptoms of COVID. But you know what it does? It makes people scared to death to go out and preach the gospel. But you know what? I believe God moved. You say, well, I don't believe the COVID was of God. I believe it is. You know what it's doing? It's taking a bunch of senior saints home. And they're better off than they've ever been on the other side when they're saved and on their way to heaven. Amen? Number two, it's going to test. Listen, it's going to tell whether you're faithful or not. It's clearing out the chaff. Number three, it has given us great opportunity to witness for Christ. Because the people that are teaching and preaching wrong, there's some out there, folks. You understand that, right? The folks that aren't really serious but have been playing church. I'm here to tell you. Now, they ain't going back to where they used to serve. In a wide open field, I'm getting to see people call. You know how folks normally, through the 70s, 80s, and the 90s, we had to hunt places to preach. We had to go after people. Very seldom did people call us and go, hey, would you come to preach for us? And then they go through their list of all the things, and I go, I ain't doing that. I ain't doing that. No, I'm going to preach out of the King James Bible. Amen. I told my wife this week about something. I said, there ain't no way those folks are going to call me. There ain't no way that they're going to call me and ask me to preach. There ain't no way. And they called us and asked us to preach. You know why? Because I don't think people are willing anymore, folks. I don't think people are hungry like they used to be to preach about Jesus. We've gotten in a lull in a place. You say, Brother Parsons, how does that apply? Do you know this lady? Jesus, he acted like he didn't hear him. He acted like he didn't hear him. Then he finally stood up. When they kept on, he finally stood up and said, hey, the person without sin in this place, you cast the first stone. And you know what happened? The conviction began to fall on them. And the people that have been way down the road, the eldest. Hey, folks, don't kid yourself. Amen. We got some of them in here. You know what? They got miles and miles to go back through their life. They got miles and miles, and they start thinking back, you know what? Most of the senior saints that I've been around, usually, there may have been a time in their life they were real, real pharisaical, but they've seen enough now in their life. They've come to a place where they're like, hey, you know, I'm tapping out. I'm going to go on and go. Amen. The oldest of them looked back, and they said, yeah, there were some times in my life I've got some sin. And then those young Pharisees, the ones that were full of it. They've been to Bible college and they knew how to fix everything. They thought, I'm a sinner too. And then the teenager who never takes any blame on himself, whatever, whatsoever. Everything's mom's fault, dad's fault, school's fault. Amen. Come on. It's all right. Let them hear you. They know. All right. Them teenagers that don't, they never take any blame of themselves. It's always somebody else's fault. When everybody else was gone, they didn't have nobody else to blame. And they said, it must be our fault too. We must have fault here too. And they left. And then Jesus finds himself alone with this lady. This lady who's been caught in the very act. This lady who's, she's dead to rights. According to the law, everybody else gone, there was one man standing in there, and he had every right to throw a rock. He was the perfect, sinless Son of God. And he could have found judgment that day. He could have picked up a rock. He said, now you and I, we're going to do business now. According to the law, it's death for you. According to the law, you need to go and you need to pay for this sin. According to the law, you are going to die. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus, knowing full well what he was going to do, just in a short time, he was going to go to the cross and pay for her sins. He was going to go to the cross and pay for her sins. That Jesus, he says in verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The greatest story in the scripture of forgiveness, we find Jesus with a woman caught in the very act. Dead to rights according to the law. If the law had been fulfilled at this moment, Jesus would have stoned her right there. And he had a crowd. You know, sometimes it's not easy to go against a crowd. I'm going to tell you right now, church, if we stand up against, if this passes law, we won't shut up about what we preach. Amen. Hey, church, if they pass a law against us preaching the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and preaching the whole counsel of God, your preacher's going to be in jail. If God's people, and I really believe this, I believe we got a crowd of people right now that are standing against God and the things of God. And if God's people won't be willing to stand up and speak for what they believe, we're not just going to lose the country. Our churches are going to be torn apart. Our churches will be as one having no shepherd. Because if the shepherd stands and the church doesn't, we got no hope. We live in that day and age. And we've come to a point where other folks that used to preach it won't preach it anymore. But I'm not as one of those that came here today to tell you that there's a sin that people can't be saved out of. I come here today to tell you, you know, there are people, there are some crazy men that seem like fundamentalists that'll tell you that someone that is in deep into sin, in a sexual sin, that we don't need to name. Every one of you are thinking about it right now. That those people can't be saved. Hey, they're sinners just like you and I. Jesus went to the cross and paid for their sins just like he did yours. And if they got the light of the Lord Jesus Christ on the side of them, they would be different just like you are too. Amen and amen. So we're not preaching hate. We're preaching hope. We're not preaching against the world and their deeds. We're preaching, come and dine, the master calleth. Hey, folks, we've got a world to win to Christ. And as a church, we've got to stand together and preach the message. And the great message is, you're not coming here for us to name all your sin and to stone you. But we're saying, come to Jesus. He didn't condemn you, and neither will we. He's not condemning your sin. He paid for it on Calvary. When the worst sinner walked in the back door, and you know, according to the scripture, who the worst sinner is, might scare you. The Apostle Paul said, I'm chief. Hey, Jesus paid for his sin too. It's time that the church got back on board. Amen? Every church in America got back on board and realizing the sinner's lost and he's thinking wrong. But if he could just get Jesus on the inside, he could start thinking right. The only way we're going to change Congress is for Congress to get saved. The only way we're going to change the Senate is for the Senate to get saved. The only way we're going to change Polk County is for Polk County to get saved. I thank God that we live in the best county in all the world. We got the best sheriff. We got the best, we got the best state. I mean, we can be proud of where we live, but listen, everybody ain't saved. And if you want to keep living in the best place, the best thing we can do is go soul winning and win people to Christ. The best thing we can do is when they come in the back door and the sinner makes his way down the aisle, we say, hey, I'm so glad you're here. And when they come back a second week, you say, I was praying for you this week. Hey, folks, God paid for everybody's sin. There's not one person on planet Earth that he wants to see go to hell. So, church, let's get after them. We have been for a long time. But let's not slack up. COVID is not the time to slow down. It's time to press forward. There's more opportunity. There's more need, I believe, than there's ever been. There's more people on planet Earth than there's ever been. People need us. And there's definitely more people in Polk County than there's ever been. And we need to be after them. If you're here today and you came and you found your way in here and you've never accepted Christ, you know today that you're lost and on your way to hell without Jesus Christ. You know you're still in your sins and you need those forgiven. Jesus Christ died on Calvary, and just like he did for this woman in adultery, if you come to him this morning and ask him to forgive you, he'll forgive you the same way he did her. He'll give you the same salvation that ultimately he gave her when he paid for it on Calvary. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around but me and God, you'd say, Brother Parsons, preacher, I need that salvation that you talked about today. I desperately need to be saved. Would you do this for me? When the music begins to play, would you step out, come down to the front, take my hand and let me take you to someone that can take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're here and you've not joined the church and you need to come by baptism or join in church membership, then do what God spoke to your heart today. The church needs to be strengthened by people just not attending but becoming members and joining up and locking arms and saying, I'll stand with you, preacher. I'm going to pray and then we'll stand to our feet. If God spoke to your heart, I pray that you'll come this morning. Dear God, I thank you for all that you've done. I pray, God, that people would do what you've spoken them to do. Holy Spirit of God, do a work that we can't do. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me if you would, Brother Bert.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come.
Your heads with me this morning. If you're here and you're not saved, you don't know if Jesus died on Calvary for you before today, you've never accepted him as your Savior, would you step out and come now? While everyone has their head bowed, nobody's looking around but me and the Lord Jesus Christ, would you step out and come to the front and receive him this morning as your Savior? We'll sing some more and we'll give you an opportunity. God's people, if you're here and you're not a part of this church and you know you ought to be, you know you ought to be a member, when do you come and let us have you join by baptism and by a vote of the church? We'll ask you to do what God's spoken to your heart to do. Brother Bert.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Brother Bert. This morning we preach a message to help the world. How can you help them? When we go out of this place, almost at every one of the exits, there are a track rack back there. And even if you don't know how to share the gospel, that track knows how to. And if you'll just take it with you and slip it in somebody's hand, maybe you're not bold enough for that yet, but most of us go to McDonald's and we go out to eat sometime during the week. If you'll take one of those tracks and just, instead of putting your money on the table, stick your money inside the track so they got to go through it to get it. Amen. You know, that's been working for a lot of years, folks. I just fear that maybe in COVID or some other things, we've gotten away from it. As a church, let's get back to just, man, just telling people about Jesus, dropping light everywhere we can, on everybody that we can. And then sometime we'll see somebody come and say, boy, I tell you what, that I saw a track and I read that thing and I knew to come to this place because this place loved people. They cared enough about me to leave a little piece of paper that told me about Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, we're always sad when somebody doesn't walk down and get saved, but I promise you this, somewhere on the property today, somebody came on a bus or into Sunday school and received Jesus Christ. Amen. But let's be diligent this week, church, to find somebody that needs Jesus and ask them to come with us next week. Amen. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Perkins, would you come and pray for us?
Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We do thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. And Father, we thank you for the message that we just heard. And Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us all of our sins. And Father, we just pray that be anybody here this morning that's lost, that today would be their day of salvation. As we dismiss now, Father, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.